Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you ever intimidated by the impossible? The New York Mets may have been intimidated by the impossible last night when they faced Madison Bumgarner of the Giants and lost. Do the demands of your seminary courses right now at mid-quarter seem impossible to meet? Are you or is someone close to you facing a dire circumstance, a family medical crisis, or financial stress? Perhaps a stubborn child or family sibling tries your patience again and again and again. Trials are new and complex every day, even impossible, often creating within us anxiety, fear, and even panic. In light of today's reading, there is great and overwhelming comfort here, reminding you that you are never alone. God knows your every need, so that you need not stew anxiously over what seems to be impossible. Two people in our text were overcome with something impossible. The first was King Joram of the northern king of Israel, who faced an impossible request, probably from Ben-Hadad II, the king of Syria. That king of Syria sends a letter with his bold and wonderful commander, Naaman, asking the king of Israel to heal Naaman of his crippling, deforming bodily disease of leprosy. And the implied order behind it is, cure him or else more trouble will continue, more skirmishes will continue, and I will take more of your people. Joram panics, very fearful with this impossible request, and cries out, am I God? Am I able to kill and to make alive? The second character is Naaman, this bold chief of Syria. But he is also arrogant and presuming. God humbled him with this impossible disease. His leprosy did three things. It deprived him from being the king's servant, deprived him from living within the Syrian community, and also took him out of his own home. But we see his arrogance throughout this text. It's pronounced as he is perturbed that Elisha doesn't come out and greet him himself and just wave his hand and make his problem go away. Instead, Elisha sends a servant out to tell him to wash and dip himself in the Jordan 7 times. And he is enraged, and he's about ready to head back to Damascus. Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humble, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. God humbled both these men, Joram and Naaman. After all human means seemed to be exhausted, God worked through the impossible. And in contrast to these two exalted rulers are two other faithful people. An Israelite slave girl to Naaman's wife, and the prophet Elisha. Although much less prominent or even significant by worldly standards, they are far more notable and are primary because they believed and trusted that God works through the impossible all the time. So the Israelite girl told Naaman's wife, send him to Israel. There's a prophet there, Elisha. And Elisha then comes to Joram, who's frustrated, and sent Naaman to him for hope. Naaman finally listened. It took some time, though, didn't it? It took his own servant's time to reassure him. He said, if the prophet said you'll be healed, then go into the Jordan. And so he dips in the Jordans 7 times. And his skin becomes as soft as a young child's. A cold, prideful, and diseased man entered into the Jordan. But a new man ascends, a warm, generous, and thankful man. Naaman humbly passed through the Jordan, was healed and received by the God of Israel. The old Naaman died, humbled by the impossible, drowned so that a new man confesses, "Behold, I know there is no God in all the world but in Israel." Joram cried out, can I kill and bring back to life? Well, we know God does that to us every single day through holy baptism. Your baptism too was inaugurated by Jesus Christ in those same Jordan rivers where Naaman washed. The God of the servant girl, Elisha, and Naaman sent his only son to fulfill all righteousness for you and to open up heaven for you. And God calls you and me, like Joram and Naaman today, to drown your stubbornness, drown your pride. Because any seemingly impossible circumstance you face calls you to die to self and to live with Christ. And since Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, and then also rose again from the dead, bringing you back to life, he promises to resurrect every situation for you and always work it out for good. Even though you're buried by the impossible, let the forgiving, cleansing, cool waters of holy baptism wash over you and refresh you today. Christ covers you and cares for your every need. Christ is your hope, your rest, your life, your salvation. When the impossible strikes, you will be tempted to throw in the towel or tear your clothes like Joram did. But just remember, dear friends, that God uses all of these like alien works to work repentance in us so that we look outside of ourselves and we look to Christ alone. By the power of Christ's resurrection, every impossible circumstance is another opportunity for renewed humility, thankfulness, and faith, all in order that Christ may be proclaimed and confessed as the only true God forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.